Guardian Unlimited.
Nelson Mandela's speech of 1964 was truly one of the greatest speeches of the 20th century. If one view now with the advantage of hindsight what he said, then it becomes clear that he was a visionary already at that stage. It's a pity that the pleas that he made based on his recent explanation for the reasons why the ANC embarked on the armed struggle, then it is clear that the government of the time did not really listen to him and allowed what happened, what he was saying, to be used as basically a reason to clamp down. They had reasons. They were concerned about the close association with the South African Communist Party and through the SA Communist Party with Russia. But if they had then taken a different stance, everything could have turned out differently at an earlier stage.
So what made it so great? I mean, is it the kind of the legalistic, kind of very patient, Gandhi-ish-like kind of love of detail and a very kind of moderate tone? I mean, how would you characterize the specific brilliance of the words he used, the way he said them?
His main concern was that everybody in South Africa should enjoy equal rights. What makes it very special is that even at that stage, he was not asking for retribution. He was not asking for white South Africans to be subjected to domination. He had a vision that in the end, if an equal vote was granted, that politics would be rid of racialism in any form whatsoever. He had a vision that all South Africans would then be able to live together in peace with common respect for each other. That made it very, very special. Unfortunately, if we look at South Africa as it is today, we have not reached that goal that he set for himself in that speech as yet. Divisions in South Africa, political divisions, are still based overwhelmingly on color. Whites, yes, they are still socially and economically privileged, but have virtually no say in the policies by which they are governed. So we have made tremendous progress in South Africa, but we have not fully achieved the vision which Mandela then shared with everybody.
It begins, doesn't it, somewhat as a kind of legal defense. I mean, it sort of almost seems like that. He's rebutting a series of allegations about him put forward by the prosecution. It's a curious context for a great political speech in that it emerges out of, you know, a specific courtroom context of an accused man and then turns into this sort of, as you say, a kind of political clarion cry.
Nelson Mandela was a lawyer. He practiced law, and I regard it as natural that he chose to cast his speech in legalistic terms. But if one really reads it in depth, within that legalistic framework, there was a very well-reasoned argument against discrimination on the basis of color. A very reasoned argument in favor of recognition of a human rights culture. A very reasoned argument in favor of equal opportunities for all. That is what we have achieved basically in South Africa with the transformation through which we went. And those clarion calls contained in his speech about these major issues are today the universally accepted norms for freedom and free societies.
How did it affect you? I mean, I don't know when you first heard it or came across it as a text. As a white member of the National Party, I mean, how did it affect you?
When he made the speech, I was a young man, just recently qualified as a lawyer myself. And I must admit that at that stage, I also accepted the propagandistic interpretation of his speech as really a reflection of a decision to go the way of an armed struggle in partnership with Russia, and therefore also saw more the threat in it than the justification. I came to the conclusion in the middle 80s that we have to accept that separate development, as we then called apartheid, was morally unjustifiable. It has failed to bring justice to all, which was the motivation when I was a young man. This is just a temporary situation. In the end, through the creation of so many nation states, we will bring justice to all. We have failed to do so in South Africa. And we acknowledge to ourselves, and I to myself, in the early 80s and especially in the middle 80s, that we can't reform apartheid, we can't improve it, we can't just make it smoother, that we had to totally abandon it and in its place accept a new vision of one united South Africa with an equal vote for all, a united South Africa in which there cannot be any form of racial discrimination, a united South Africa in which there would be checks and balances against the misuse of power. And from then onwards, I worked for that, and when I became president, it was my privilege to initiate reform, to initiate a negotiation process, and to sit across Mandela after I released him from prison, and to negotiate with him an historical agreement which is now encapsulated in our constitution. An agreement, and this is what makes the speech such a great speech, an agreement which basically contained that which he pleaded for at the time of his trial.
I suppose this speech, going back to the speech itself, this speech was the kind of the last anyone really heard of him, wasn't it? And for all those years of incarceration. And his legend went on and was a very important kind of motor to the anti-apartheid movement, wasn't it, for many years, decades?
The speech that Mandela made was, for many years, he served a prison sentence of 27 years. In a sense, his last public statement. But it reverberated throughout those 27 years. And the fact that his voice was no longer heard maybe carried an even more powerful message than if the situation was different and if he would issue public statements every now and then. The fact that he was silenced, I think, was the main contributing factor which, in the eyes of the whole world, made him the very special icon person that he became.
What do you think of him as a speaker? It's interesting. Mandela is obviously a very brave man, a very brilliant man in so many ways. But as a speaker, he's a very particular kind of speaker. I mean, he's not Martin Luther King, is he? He's a very particular kind of rather quiet, soft-spoken delivery. Do you think that there's something about that that actually, if you like, adds to the gravity or the intensity of the words he uses, the words he chooses in his speeches?
Nelson Mandela is not a great orator, but he compensates by his stature and the aura which he exudes. I have seen him on many occasions, we have shared platforms on many occasions as well, captivating an audience, notwithstanding a basically legalistic approach towards speeches, notwithstanding the lack of oratorial exuberance which many good speakers do show. He is a very special speaker with his very own style, but that style has had, whenever he spoke since his release, a tremendous effect on audiences worldwide. In the final analysis, I firmly believe that great speeches are great, not because of however well they were delivered, not because of the tricks of the trade of public speaking. Great speeches are great because they deal with great truths and because they contain great visions.
Guardian Unlimited.